You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I'm your host today, Guy Fieri. You can catch me on Twitter at FF_Flavortown. With me, as usual, is Jetpack Galileo. Jetpack, how's outer space looking these days?
You know, it's been pretty good compared to what I've been seeing on Earth. So we'll just keep it at that. I'm happy I'm out here. Overall, enjoying my time here with Mrs. G.
I see we did get imaging of the moon that killed Will Fuller. Can you elaborate on that for me?
Yeah, we got a close-up look at the moon, the big old penumbral lunar eclipse that killed Will Fuller. And we didn't really talk about this last week, which I think we really need to review what happened. So there was a full moon 2 weekends ago, it seems, where Will Fuller went off against the Detroit Lions. And that was just on the waxing gibbous. It was like a 98% moon. And then the day after, he had his full moon. And everything was, you know, just as I had expected, right? You get a waxing gibbous moon, you know Will Fuller's going to go off, especially if it's against Desmond Trufant, who he doused last season for 200 yards as well. That all went according to plan. But then after that, the moon decided to take revenge. And this is not something that I was anticipating. So the full moon we had was not just any full moon. It was a penumbral lunar eclipse. And that means that it's not a full lunar eclipse, but you get a shadow on the moon. So it's not as bright as it normally would be in a typical full moon. And that is where the moon decided to take its revenge. So if you've been following along with anything that we've been going over, it's that Will Fuller had broken out of his moon phase correlation. That, oh, wow, he's actually just, he's outperforming the moon. There was a week two waning crescent, which was like, oh, he's obviously not going to be good. That was against the Baltimore Ravens. 0 points, big goose egg. But then after that, he just started hitting all these games where it was like, oh my gosh, This Will Fuller guy, he's finally being who he can be. And even again, in crescent moon phase, he's still having big 15-point games. Like, this guy is for real. He's finally broken out. And so that was the case for a good amount of the season. We were finally seeing a free Will Fuller do everything that he could. But then the moon decided to reel him back in. And, it let him have one last glimpse of glory, but it was ultimately doused in shadow with his suspension. So if you think that there is a coincidence that there was a penumbral lunar eclipse on the same weekend that Will Fuller got suspended, you're simply a fool.
You would absolutely be wrong. That's science.
Yeah,
there's nothing but pure science there. And speaking of science, don't you want to be scientific and use analytics in how you approach the game of fantasy football?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's why I am working with FTNFantasy.com and using all of their great tools.
Wow. Yeah, it's like you knew what I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Use our promo code ASTRO10 to get 10% off. Totally great site. Have all these awesome tools. Just a really great group of guys to learn from. Brad Evans, Elliot Christ, Kevin Adams, who I didn't really know about prior, but is a betting stud. So they have all this. They have all sorts of betting prop advice and DFS advice, and just a lot of great resources. So FTN Fantasy or FTN Daily or FTNBets.com, any of those sites would work for our coupon. So
use our code ASTRO10 for 10% off. I actually was playing around with some of the seasonal stats that they have, and I mean, they, because airyards.com and stats are for losers.com isn't being updated anymore. I haven't had my air yards and all those advanced stats for seasonal leagues, and so now I have that again, and love that. There are so many different tools that they have just for seasonal leagues as well, and so many stats they have for seasonal leagues, which the more I play around on the site, the more I learn and the more I realize how valuable it is. Super fun. But yeah, go check out ftndaily.com or ftnfantasy.com or ftnbets.com. The one-stop shop for all things fantasy sports. All right. You ready to talk, some rookies?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I think we kind of weave rookies into everything. It's a dynasty pod. That's kind of our theme, but we're at the point now where most guys have settled in. We've seen breakout games from bigger name guys, and that's been exciting. And so, yeah, with the highs and lows of the season kind of in place and everybody entering fantasy playoffs, I think we're in a balanced place to have a real true rookie review.
Right. And I really want to look at, like, where did process go right? Where did the process go wrong? Like, what did you learn from the evaluation? And then how are we looking at the 21 class? We won't get into the 21 players specifically today, but I kind of want to look into how is your process refining even further? Because I feel like we had some pretty good hits as far as the guys we identified and focused on. It just, you know, there's some that we're still waiting on to break out. Looking at you, Denzel Mims. But let's talk about, so what were some of the hits? What were I mean it's easy to start with Justin Jefferson. Everyone knew, like, before the season we said he was going to be the number one scoring rookie wide receiver, and that was just locked and loaded. Justin Jefferson was going to score the most points. He blew everyone out of the water. Like, he's sixth in receiving yards in the NFL right now, and nobody saw that. He's having one of the best rookie seasons ever, and nobody saw this coming, right? I mean, you're getting him at the back end of the first round. He's going behind guys like CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, sometimes even Brandon Ayuk would slip in there if you got a Niners fan. And then Henry Ruggs and Jalen Reagor were also slipping ahead of him from time to time. What did we miss? Like, because we identified the talent. Did we miss anything in our evaluation of who he was? Or was he just on such a prolific offense that his everything he was doing kind of seemed muted? Like, what was the thing that kind of kept us from identifying him as the number one?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think most of it is attached to Ja'Marr Chase and who Ja'Marr Chase is and why he had better stats than Justin Jefferson. And so we do this a lot with college football evals. We look at the stats and we compare, oh, this guy, he's not as dominant, right? Because he doesn't get as many looks from their quarterback. And so he's not going to be as valuable. Or he's not as talented is probably the better way of saying that. And I think that ends up, you know, somewhat of a flawed process, because while probably in, like, high sample sizes or in big volume, that's useful. You still have to be able to look at, hey, this is an elite situation between two really great receivers. Let's not discount them just because one guy had a couple less touchdowns, right? Let's not miss this guy and treat him like he's not as good because, you know, his dominator score is not going to be as high, even though, you know, he's within 100 yards or whatever. I forget what the difference is between them. But, right. It's negligible in comparison to who Justin Jefferson and who probably Ja'Marr Chase is compared to the rest of the NFL, right? Right. And so, yeah, we can look at these guys now and say, oh, man, that's a generational talent, and what a gift it was to have that season. And it kind of all fits together, right? Greatest college football season of all time from Joe Burrow with, like, right, 60 touchdowns, right? And definitely because he had two amazing wide receivers that are, you right, know, going to be great in the NFL. So, I think that most of it is going to be attached to Ja'Marr Chase and who we think Ja'Marr Chase is. And Justin Jefferson being this, like, second fiddle slot guy. But I will say, in my own eval of Jefferson, I'm proud to say that, like, I wasn't worried about him being able to play outside or anything like that. And a lot of that has to do with, if I'm going to point to one thing in terms of being able to play outside that I think is really important, it's having loose hips to help you get off the line and help you make those kinds of moves, and then being competitive with the ball in the air. And Justin [S2] Right. [S1] Jefferson's really good at both those things. So. Never had a question about him transferring outside. I think Keenan Allen was the common comp, and I'm pretty happy with that comp.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you saw how good of a route runner Justin Jefferson was. And, I mean, he was getting compared to Stephon Diggs as well, because everyone thought, okay, he's a natural fit to do exactly everything that Stephon Diggs was doing. And so you had all these high-level comparisons for him, and you had this high-level production. He checked all the boxes. But, yeah, I mean, you're playing next to Ja'Marr Chase, and we can get into Ja'Marr Chase another time, because there's plenty to talk about there. But that, I think, when you're looking at Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb, their breakout years, they didn't necessarily have anyone that they were competing with, especially not the level that Ja'Marr Chase was. And so you look at all the guys that had the higher talent profile or the higher draft profiles than Justin Jefferson, there was no one there to compete with them. And so Justin Jefferson, everyone looks, oh, okay, he's the number two wide receiver on his team. He can't be the number one wide receiver overall. And I think I'm learning more and more that the context matters, and not just to look at one stat or not just to cling to one thing, but try and gain the best picture of the context as I can. And I think that that's really going to help evaluating this next year. I think there, because of how weird of a season it is, we're going to have to look at a lot of context for this next season. I want to talk next about a guy that I think is probably the wide receiver two in this class right now, as far as fantasy production, and that's Brandon Ayuk. And I mean, you called him Jetpack Jerry Rice, and the big knock on him was he was older, JUCO, played at ASU, but he did everything we wanted on film. He had all the stats we wanted except for the early breakout age. He had all, like, he checked every single box except for the fact that A, he played at Arizona State, and B, he was a little bit older of a prospect, went to JUCO first. But You go back and you looked at some of his JUCO film, and he was doing all of the right things. And now he's in this offense that lacks a true alpha wide receiver. You have Deebo Samuel, who's the pumped up slop guy, the yak guy. You have George Kittle, who's an incredible tight end, but not like a number one wide receiver. And so you get a guy that does everything you want on film, that has all the stats, that has all the athleticism. And he was going in the second rounds, and I made sure I got him on as much as I could, and I think you did as well. But this is a guy where I think our evaluation hit. Our evaluation was spot on of what he was and who he was. The question marks just kept us a little bit hesitant on taking him early, or taking him like maybe where he would be valued now. So, I mean, look back on your evaluation of Brandon Ayuk. Is there anything that you would change, or do you feel like you were spot on there? Because, honestly, he has 30% of his team's air yards right now and 50% whopper. He's on par with George Kittle as far as target share and efficiency and production for this team. So you're looking at the alpha wide receiver on this team. It's not Deebo Samuel. It's definitely Brandon Ayuk as the number one wide receiver on this team. Is there anything in your evaluation? Because I don't look back and have any regrets about mine on Ayuk. Is there anything in your evaluation where you'd look back and say, hey, I would have scored this differently, or I would have bumped him up here or there?
No, man, I nailed it.
You absolutely did.
Yeah, no, I think the thing for me with Ayuk is that, like, the talent is there, but we got lucky with the opportunity, right?
Right.
Kittle being injured all season has a huge impact, right? The Niners, like, losing Nick Bosa and Richard Sherman, right? And they're always going to play from behind now. Right. And Deebo Samuel's hurt. Like, the opportunity that we didn't think was there for him to show his talent was here this year. And so We got really lucky with, like, not having to wait at all, right? And I think that there's similar or comparable talents that you can say, hey, there's other receivers that are, like, pretty good, and their opportunity is not what Brandon Ayuk has had in his rookie season. And so, like, yeah, I'm happy to say, oh yeah, I totally nailed this eval, but I definitely got lucky with the volume that he's been getting. So happy to see that for sure. One thing with Ayuk that's interesting, or that I want to change in my process or figure out a way to work around, is what do you do with small sample size game film? And, you know, because really with him, you're only looking at a year. That's all you have. Right. Like I went back and I looked at Sierra. So a big part of the eval for me is, okay, if I find a guy who has good yards after the catch, right, like Brandon Ayuk, and I notice, oh, he's got great speed and he's got good hands. A lot of times what happens with those kinds of guys is that you don't see very many contested catch situations. And so you don't know what he is. And so for me, he was a little bit of a question mark there. And I think that's the thing that is affected by small sample size the most is contested catch situations. And so I had to go back to like Sierra College highlights and be like, okay, were there anywhere he like competed for the ball in the air? And there were. And I was like, okay, cool. Like I'll give him a medium score here. But you can't say with confidence that he's going to be this or that. You can say like, okay, I'll give him like an average score. And that ends up like settling things out. But that's what, you know, why there's some flaws to the grade. But then he gets to the NFL and he's everything you want to be in that contested catch category in terms of, oh, he can play through contact. He can get hit in the head and still catch the ball. You know, he's got strong hands through all these things. And so that's one thing where I'm glad it worked out in this case. But figuring out a way to kind of quantify that or do more than just give a guy an average score if he kind of like checks one box because he had one contested catch that I liked. I think that's a challenge.
And I think it's a challenge that we don't necessarily have to have a solution to, because when it comes to guys like this, we'll discover if there are any similar to this in the 2021 class. But when it comes to guys like this, because of their profile, because they went to JUCOs, because they didn't necessarily produce early, there's not early film, they're going to be lower on everyone's board. So if you are just a tiny bit higher because you went back and have that JUCO film or you properly evaluated them, you're going to be higher on them than everyone else. And granted, you're a Niners fan, so that helps as well in this specific instance. But your process of going back and evaluating the film is going to push him a little bit higher on your board than it will everyone else, because they're just looking at, or not everyone, but most people don't have the eye for it. And so they need someone to help them discover that, or they're just going based off of the analytical profile, and you can't see that in just that small sample size. So I think looking at our process and going back and reviewing our process, especially with him and guys like him that fit that profile, because they'll be bumped down, I don't know that we need to necessarily change anything to still have them hit and to still end up with them at a great value. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So let's talk a little bit about CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, and neither of these guys. So these were the top two wide receivers. And so, for the most part, and going into the draft, you knew that it was going to be tough for CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy to get immediate production. So you're drafting them based off their profile. And I think, definitely CeeDee Lamb has showed everything that he is, everything that he was in college. He is in the NFL. He's going to be an excellent wide receiver. It's just more of the volume and the situation that he's been in. He's pretty much had the opposite situation of Brandon Ayuk, where everybody, all the pass catchers around him have stayed healthy. He's just lost his O-line and he's lost his quarterback, you know? And so you're seeing CeeDee Lamb do the things that he does, and you're seeing CeeDee Lamb be excellent in a suboptimal situation. And so he's probably honestly now cheaper than he was before the season, because he hasn't had the production that you wanted out of him. Jerry Jeudy, on the other hand, I think still has some development as far as, he's an excellent route runner, but just seeing the film breakdowns, he still has a little bit more development, and he's working with Drew Lock. So it's another suboptimal situation where you love the talent. Do you, looking back on these two guys specifically, because we said that their situations were not optimal, but we were still drafting them because of their upside and because of their future upside. If you went back, would you change where you drafted them, or would you still say, yeah, they're in my top three, they're in my top four, or whatever?
Yeah, I'd keep Lamb where he was. So I had, I'd keep Lamb where he was, and then I'd bump Jeudy down a little bit. So the thing that bothers me about Jeudy, we talked about this probably last month, right? He's amazing route runner, like legitimately one of the better route runners in the NFL right now. But the thing that's not showing up is the physicality and the ability to win, not just physicality at the catch point, but also throughout the route, right? So you can like push him around a little bit. And so the way that that's showing up, it has been, I think, part of why like a guy like Tim Patrick is getting some reps, getting some looks, more than, you know, where a lot of guys who you'd be like, oh, this is the alpha of the team, you'd expect Judy to be getting more looks. So, that's been a little bit concerning. And I think a lot of times when you have guys like that, those tendencies don't necessarily change, right? The physicality is a mentality. And your like way that you approach the game and the way that you like the things that you value in your training or the attitude that you bring to every rep, right? Judy's attitude or his mindset is like, how can I shake this guy? And like, how can I get as open as I can and burn him as, you know, as much as I can. And that's like awesome. Right. But he's very Amari Cooper in that way. And so competing for balls, I think, ends up being also very Amari Cooper. And he's less competitive than maybe what you want to see. So that upside, I think, is still there. But will he be the go-to guy over Sutton when Sutton comes back? No, I don't think so. I think he'll grow in his development just as a player and grow in the chemistry that he has with Locke or whoever ends up being there. And he'll be a good receiver in the NFL with maybe a wide receiver one season in the books. But I think ultimately he'll be sharing volume or sharing quarterback respect with a guy like Courtland Sutton, who you can, you know, kind of just throw it to. So,
right. And I think Courtland Sutton was the opposite coming in, and he developed. And so we'll have to see, will Jerry Jeudy develop that physicality? But Courtland Sutton came in and he was a physical player, couldn't separate. And you've seen him now develop nuance to his game to where he's become an excellent wide receiver. And so I think when we evaluated Jerry Jeudy initially, we saw a much more complete prospect than he actually was. And I think that's definitely a point, noting the physicality, noting how they kind of approach the game definitely changes how you evaluate them and how you end up ranking them. Because when you get these NFL corners, you can't just shake everyone, or you can, like Jerry Jeudy is doing, but it takes a year and then Drew Locke looks him off and you don't get the ball. Right. And so you see all these plays where Jerry Jeudy ends up wide open, but it took him six different moves to get the DB to fall down. And now the DB's fallen down, but the play's over. And so, like noting that and noting the type of player is a huge, huge thing. And I definitely agree with you. I think he's much more developmental than we thought. And I mean, I thought he was this complete guy, and turns out that's not the case. There's definitely room for him to grow into that NFL wide receiver. And I mean, CeeDee Lamb really just needs more opportunity. He hasn't really separated himself from Gallup as much as you'd think. They are very similar in almost every single metric, target share, air yards, whopper, racer, all of the metrics. They are incredibly similar, and Gallup even ranks ahead of him from time to time. So that's a situation where he's not going to produce the wide receiver one level as long as there are too many wide receivers there, as long as Michael Gallup really is there. Cause I think he'll be okay with Amari. They're slightly different players, but with him and Michael Gallup, they're, for whatever reason, they're used decently similarly. And so I think Michael Gallup's going to kill his production as long as Michael Gallup is there. So it's not a matter of if CeeDee Lamb is ready for the NFL. He absolutely is, but his situation is just as bad as we kind of thought it would be. And it might take another season or two before he is that wide receiver one that he absolutely will be. There's no doubt in my mind that he will be a top 10 wide receiver in this league just based off his talent alone. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah. So I'm looking at, well, I'll use the FTN splits tool and we'll take a look at CeeDee Lamb with Dak and without Dak. So five games with Dak, he's averaging 18 fantasy points a game. And wow. Without Dak, eight games, he's averaging 10 fantasy points a game, right? So even with Gallup there, yes, the volume is not like as amazing as it could be in terms of, so like fantasy wise, you know, maybe he's not a wide receiver one, right? But I think when Dak is back, he's a guaranteed wide receiver too. And you can bet on that. I'm pretty sure there. The receiving yard difference with Dak is 86 receiving yards per game, and then without Dak it's 38. So I mean, wow. You know, it's huge, right? And just the volume for that team has been all over the place. So I think for me, I'd go Jefferson, Lamb, 1 and 2, and that'd be my first tier, and then I'd have a gap. I'd have Brandon Ayuk. He'd kind of live in his own space. And then I'd have Judy, Claypool, Higgins kind of in this next third tier.
And let's talk about that next group of guys, Claypool, Higgins, and Mims. And obviously, everyone we've talked about except for Denzel Mims is going to be more expensive. And I think T. Higgins and Denzel Mims are the two best values out of everyone that we've talked about. And it's interesting. Jalen Reagor's completely dropped out for you, hasn't he, of that top group?
Yeah. So Jalen Reagor.
Let's talk about him really quick, because I think he's very interesting and everyone was super high on him. I think I had him in the top four for me, and he's well out of that range.
Oh yeah. So yeah, you know, I'm a gambler. So I was like, oh yeah, Jalen Reagor, wide receiver one. and what I need to fix in my own eval is, With Reagor and with Ruggs, there was this prioritization of athleticism. The team's just going to figure out a way to get them the ball. And that didn't happen with both those guys. And it's kind of like the same deal with Paris Campbell, who, I mean, he's been injured. And so, you know, he has all these issues on that end of things. But, you know, a similar in my mind, the way that I value a lot of guys like that is like, because I've had good experiences, you know, of like, oh, Percy Harvin is like so great, or, you know, there's players like that where, you know, the upside is not the same as it is with like a DK Metcalf, or as it is with a Justin Jefferson, you know, more of a technician kind of guy, that these like kind of mixed athletes who are, you know, more of a yak kind of guy, I've probably overemphasized or overprioritized. And so I'm going to change that a little bit. And just in terms of like how I'm looking at things in the future. So guys like a Jalen Reagor, they'll be a little bit lower down, you know, on that list. But yeah, with Reagor, what I've seen that has bothered me the most is, and I didn't get to see as much because you don't have the all 22, so you don't get to see every route and all this kind of stuff. What I've seen with Reagor is that he's not sharp at all. He's really lazy with the way that he's running his routes. And that's not something that I saw on film very much. You want to be able to differentiate a double move versus like a hard break on a curl or a comeback. And those are, you know, drastically different. You know, so you can like, hey, oh, he ran a great route on this double move and he got this guy at OK State and, you know, he went up and got the ball. This is like amazing. I'm like, oh yeah, Jalen Reagor, he's going to be fine. He'll figure it out. Because for him, when he's going at full speed and he just gives a little chop, he can keep going. But when he's like running a curl, his like momentum, it takes him too long to slow down. And that's not something that I saw or anticipated from a guy that's a punt returner. Not something that I saw or anticipated from a guy that they used on screens all the time. But that's really the case when you pull up the Eagles 22, the all 22 is like, oh, this guy, he takes 6 steps at the top of his curl route. Like, yeah, he's not going to get the ball. And so that's what we've seen. I think a lot of his value is going to be attached to how he's used creatively until I see him start to figure out like, oh no, I need to actually like drop my weight faster and get in and out sharper. Until you see that, I think you're always going to be relying on Peterson dialing up some screens or them, you know, scheming away and getting a deep shot to him somehow.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, just thinking back on Rager's film, I saw a lot of vertical stuff. You didn't see the same thing as you saw with Jerry Jeudy or you see with Devonta Smith or Justin Jefferson. You didn't see the fluidness in his hips. You didn't see how well he moves. He was great up and down the field. You catch a screen and you make one guy miss and then you can go, right? But he didn't have that same shake and he didn't have that same wiggle to him that that even guys like T. Higgins have. You know, T. Higgins is weird, slippery, I think you put it. And Jalen Reagor didn't necessarily have that. He has all the physical tools, which we love, but he definitely lacks the wiggle to him that I think I mean, that's definitely something I miss. You get enamored with athleticism and you get enamored with him as a punt returner, and he's on special teams, and you kind of gloss over the things, just like you said, the preciseness of his routes versus a double move. So yeah, absolutely. Rager's dropped out of that tier for me, and definitely going to refine my analysis in that way. Let's talk a little bit about Chase.
Real quick. So the deal with Rager is he's probably the best sell now that you can have right now.
Right.
Because his value is still high. People were saying, oh, this Jalen Rager guy, he's like a fast Odell Beckham. Like, how off was that, right? Like, for me, he's always been this Percy Harvin, maybe like Curtis Samuel, you know, kind of guy that I was a big fan of. But the hype on him was sky high, and those are big names saying, oh, this is going to be the next Odell kind of guy. And so there's still some value there and still some attachment that you can sell him now. Take, like, I would sell him for a late 21 first. You can get a better player, sub him right in, and then you don't have to wait on Rager's development. And I would do that. Like, you know, I don't have Rager anywhere because he's too expensive, but if I had him, I would sell him for a 21 first, or I mean, I'm sure you can get a better player. You could probably, we'll about to talk about these other guys you can sell him for. But yeah, I mean, if you can get rid of him, he's a guy where you can say, oh yeah, I'll wait and see. But when we're talking about selling value and like, what's the point of watching the film? What's the point of going through the first year and interpreting what all this data is? I don't think you can give him a pass for being hurt. That's not what this is about. This is his like own like technical flaw that he needs to fix. And guys fix it. But if they don't fix it, then you know, you could be looking at a N'Keal Harry, and then you're screwed, right? Because one year he'll still retain some of his value. Year two, you're hosed, right? So I'd rather get out of that now while he's got value, rather than take the risk. And I think it's all about like, what's that risk for me in year two? Because you're like a year ago, literally, you were able to sell N'Keal Harry, not a year ago, probably 6 months ago, you were able to sell N'Keal Harry for a late first, early second. And you're there. I mean, he's devastated, right? Yeah. There's no value for him anymore. And so that's my concern with Rager. So if I had Rager, I'd be selling him, and I'd just be, hey, let me just start again, right?
Yep.
It's going to be the same risk with another rookie. But maybe I'll get a guy who is a little more competitive.
Yeah. And cut bait now, right? You just like you said, don't fight your bias and say, oh no, it's worth it. It's worth it. I paid too much for him. I paid a mid first. I don't want to get a late first back. Like, cut your losses, get what you can, because his value is just going to continue to drop. And what I'm really hoping for is one bigger game where he has like four catches for 100 yards, right? And that's the point where I'm selling him, because I know that there's turmoil there, and we don't know who the quarterback's going to be, right? Yeah. And so if he, I mean, maybe his game this past week with 46 yards will be enough to get something, but I think I only have him in one league. But he's an absolute sell right now. And would you sell him for Denzel Mims straight up?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that.
I feel like I'm pretty close there too, and that's something you could absolutely pull off, and maybe then some, you know, like you can play the injury card, and you can play the Denzel Mims hasn't produced, and it would feel pretty even. So maybe you could get a Jalen Rager plus, or Jalen Rager for Denzel Mims plus, and that would be something that if you're looking to actually get one of these guys that is going to be ascending, Denzel Mims is the best buy low wide receiver. And you mentioned that on Twitter today, I believe, maybe yesterday. And he's absolutely the best buy low wide receiver, because he's shown really good things on film. And just this season, he's shown really good things. He's just not had a good offense, and he's been injured. Definitely. That's a knock against him for sure. But he's shown great things on film. He's shown his great athleticism, and he's gotten great usage, right? He's getting a lot of good targets, a lot of quality targets. This offense is just abysmal. And so when you're looking at Denzel Mims' future, you're looking at, okay, this guy's shown flashes on film. He's got a great athletic profile. He's been injured this year, but he's definitely ascending. He's definitely showing the right things versus Jalen Reagor, who's showing absolutely the wrong things. And now you're looking at a guy who might be tied to Trevor Lawrence. And that's I think the exciting thing as well, is they don't have another wide receiver of consequence on the team. That's like a true outside alpha wide receiver. So Denzel Mims has that opportunity there, where a guy like Jalen Reagor doesn't have that same opportunity with Alshon Jeffrey there and with some of these other guys there. And you're looking at a quarterback upgrade. You're looking at if Trevor Lawrence is truly a top 10 dynasty quarterback the second he enters the league, Denzel Mims has to get that same boost, because Trevor Lawrence isn't going to get production if he does not have Denzel Mims producing for him. So I think that's a big boost that Denzel Mims is going to get. And as soon as Trevor Lawrence is drafted, or as soon as it looks like Trevor Lawrence is going to be drafted, that's it. Like, Denzel Mims' value is skyrocketing, and you're not going to be able to get him. Or as soon as he has one of these big games, because he is playing at a pretty good level, from what I've seen, as soon as he has one of these big games, it's going to be much, much harder to buy him. So I think right now is the absolute best time. His value is still low enough, and you can trade one of these bigger name guys like a Jalen Reagor for him, and trade someone who's trending down for someone who's trending up in the right direction. And so him and T. Higgins, I would put in that same tier, where you had the T. Higgins breakout and everyone was all over him, but he's quieted down since. And you just got to remember, the quarterbacks are coming back next year. Trevor Lawrence will be there next year. Joe Burrow will be there next year. And these guys will be all gas, no break in 2021.
Yeah. What differentiates T. Higgins from Denzel Mims from you in terms of, like, from a football standpoint?
Honestly, not a ton. I think T. Higgins shows like a little bit more nuance in his game. And when I watched them in college and when I watch them now, T. Higgins was finding the holes in zones a little bit better. And honestly, T. Higgins' body control is out of this world. And so you see him doing these things that he looks like a much more mature wide receiver than he is. And Denzel Mims, as good as he looks, still doesn't look like that. He doesn't look like he's on the same level of maturity and understanding the game as T. Higgins does. So I think watching their game understanding nuance is what differentiates them. I don't have off the top of my head their athletic profiles or how different they are in that way. But I think you look at T. Higgins and you see a much more complete wide receiver.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think a lot of that has to do with the coaching at Clemson versus the coaching at Baylor. And,
right.
You know, I think T probably sees the game a little bit more naturally. I have questions on Mims. I don't know that we've seen him perform really well. He's still kind of, so he has, like, his spectacular catch is like 100. Well, right. I mean, maybe not 100. I don't know how many one-handers I've seen from him, but his spectacular catch is like way up there. And then his like hands are not. So he's a little inconsistent there. And so I'd like to see that improve a little bit, but, yeah, I don't know that I would, I think Mims has more upside.
That's fair.
He's faster. I think he's got better leaping ability, those kinds of things. He's a better athlete. But yeah, you know, they balance each other out, right? What Mims has in athleticism, Higgins has in intelligence, and so you're gonna, those guys are gonna be about net the same once they get it, you know, once the Jets get a quarterback and they're throwing the ball more. So
right,
and I think we're assuming Gase is gone too, right? Like, and I would rather have I don't know, Eric Bieniemy or Lincoln Riley. I don't know who's gonna go there, right? But I'd rather have a guy like that than have a Zach Taylor offense too. So.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot more spreading the ball around, and you got to think AJ Green likely gone next year is a boost for T. Higgins. It's been a mess over there for the Bengals, and I'm excited for T. Higgins next season. I'm buying him still because I think he's going to be he's another guy. His value is just going to continue to skyrocket, and so I still want to buy T. Higgins. I want as much T. Higgins on my teams as I can get. And then same thing with Denzel Mims. Denzel Mims going to be cheaper, might take a little bit longer to see production, but if I'm a team that's in a rebuild, Denzel Mims is going to be on every single roster. And I think that's the way you have to look at it. If you're a contender, you're not necessarily going to looking to buy Denzel Mims right now. He's not going to produce. Maybe you're getting him, but he's not a priority guy for you. If you're a rebuilding team, he is so cheap that you should go out and try to get him for a third or a second or whatever he's worth nowadays, you know? And that's how I'd be approaching it is, yeah, I want him on every single one of my teams, but if I'm counseling someone that's in a rebuild, Denzel Mims is the top. Denzel Mims and T. Higgins are the top of my list to go get for cheap wide receiver options, because there's plenty of wide receiver 2 years in both of them.
Loving it. T. Higgins splits with Joe Burrow, 15.3 fantasy points per game. Without Joe Burrow, 11.9. So really not a huge drop off. And I think that's encouraging just to see that he's still showing up even with whoever's out there. Brandon Allen.
Yeah. Well, yes. And then
still showing up.
And then I think the last thing the last guy we need to talk to, and then we can probably hit running backs next week, although we've hit them from time to time throughout the season, is Chase Claypool. And he was the biggest miss I had. And loved his explosive playability. Wasn't sure. Again, I'm a big nuance guy, and so when I saw that he didn't have the same nuance, that he was a catch the ball and go type guy, that bumped him down. And so I had him as my tight end one. Absolutely, he was my tight end one in this class, and so at least I had him ranked number one at some position, but I didn't realize that going into the Steelers offense, and I don't know that anyone could have predicted this, because you had Juju, you had Deontay. I don't know that anyone would have seen him vaulting over Juju Smith-Schuster, who was supposed to be the wide receiver one, and becoming that wide receiver two, maybe even the wide receiver one on that team, and all the explosive plays. So all of his measurables were there, just off the charts. He didn't show the same nuance, and I think what I kind of missed is specifically with him is that he was a bigger Martavis Bryant for Ben Roethlisberger, and immediately he steps in and he is everything that Ben Roethlisberger wanted Martavis Bryant to be, and gets that sort of love. And now you have Martavis Bryant and you have Antonio Brown on the same team again, in Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. And that is everything that Ben Roethlisberger loved, and everything that he ever wanted was those big fast guys to complement Antonio Brown. And so, like, looking back, that landing spot was perfect for him. That landing spot was everything with Big Ben, but I didn't think that his nuance would transfer, and it didn't need to. I think I overvalued the nuance of the game. Just like we were talking with T. Higgins, I overvalued that for him and didn't kind of understand the scheme that he was stepping into, and I didn't identify it early enough, because you could have had him super cheap early on before he broke out, and that was the scheme was the big thing that I missed.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we're thinking, oh yeah, this guy will take some time to develop, and then all of a sudden he had four touchdowns. You're like, right. Oh. Four touchdown game. Oh, okay. All right. I guess we're here. And so, yeah, it's like, this guy could be Vincent Jackson. He could be Darren Waller. Right. And so there's this, you know, kind of wide variety of wherever you landed on him, but everybody was like, oh, this is a great athlete. And he's a tough, gritty football player. But yeah, I think one thing I'm learning, right. Pittsburgh Steelers, good at evaluating wide receivers, yes. Good at training receivers,
yes.
Good at transforming them, training them. And so, you know, Chase Claypool, great example of that. But the other thing too, that I think, I don't know if he's a sell or not. I think, well, let's talk through two scenarios. But before we get to that, right, Chase has 10 touchdowns on the season. He might never have that many touchdowns again in his career.
Right.
So he's got 8 receiving touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's bonkers. And so with that being such a huge component of his scoring, I don't know that this is sustainable if Juju is still there. And so, you know, to have him up where I have him, I'm like doing that out of kind of like hoping that he steps forward or takes another big step in his game, and that he earns more volume or he bumps one of those two guys like Deontay out or Juju leaves. But, you know, I don't think that being the wide receiver three on any team is really like sustainably valuable. So where would you have him? Would Juju returning change anything for you? Is Chase going to be able to next year replace Deontay and take all of the wide receiver two snaps? Or is it reliant on you that Juju leaves?
It is not. I mean, so, Juju is an unrestricted free agent this upcoming season. So a 2021 unrestricted free agent means he can go wherever he wants. He's a staple in the Steelers, in the Steelers locker room. And I think they'll want to keep him, but you never know what's going to happen there. What I look at is I see the target share there, and I can pull that up. But I see the target share. I see the opportunity, and where are we at? Chase Claypool definitely is the wide receiver three, as far as target share, but as far as and like those types of opportunities, but as far as air yards, as far as his average depth of target, as far as his weighted opportunity, he is just as valuable as Juju. And so I think Deontay Johnson stays. His volume is insane. He stays as the wide receiver one there. And Juju would be the guy that I would say, okay, maybe he drops out a little bit because they're seeing how valuable it is to get Chase Claypool a ball. Maybe he's an outlier. I mean, he already is an outlier in his size and speed. Maybe he's just an outlier in fantasy production, and he stays that way. So he's tough for me to evaluate. Obviously, if Juju leaves, he stays there. But even if Juju stays, I think Juju is the one that gets the less valuable targets, and the less valuable production. So I think Chase Claypool can stay where he is. You may have some boom bust weeks, but I mean, for a rookie to score the second most PPR points out of the three wide receivers there, that's pretty impressive. And to have the that weighted opportunity ratio higher than Juju Smith-Schuster, I think that is a positive sign going forward. So just looking at some of the efficiency and some of the production stats, I think Chase definitely can retain his value and stay where he's at, even if Juju stays. That was a long way to get to that, but that's kind of what I think is, looking at everything there. I think Chase can stay at that wide receiver, or ascend to that wide receiver two role.
Yeah, he's the guy for me that will change the most this offseason based on what happens in free agency.
No, totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, if Juju leaves, I mean, you're just locking Chase Claypool
home
in.
Home run.
He's going to double his snaps. He'll be on the field 100% of the snaps.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be him and Deontay, and that's a wrap there in that offense. If Juju stays, I mean, he could stay at a 60 to 70% snap share, and that's totally fine. He could stay at 100 targets on the season, and I'm good with that. Like that's perfectly valuable in fantasy. If you're getting 100 targets and you have 12 yards per reception, 13 yards per reception, that's super solid. I'm good with that. If you're air yard, if you have 30% of the team's air yards, come on.
Like that is a lot of targets.
Yeah, that's a lot of targets, man. He's at 84 targets right now, and he didn't really break out for what was he? He was the first. He didn't see more than a 40% snap share till week three. And so week three was the four touchdown week, was it?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're going to look at, I mean, add several more. He should easily hit 100 targets next year. And that's a great range for him to be in for a wide receiver two, wide receiver three conversation weekly. And so with literal number one wide receiver overall upside. So, I think his value has to stay where it is, but then if Juju does leave, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, let's get rid of Juju. That's my vote.
Let's send and Juju to Miami.
Let's keep Mason Rudolph off the freaking field.
Oh my gosh. Let's get, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what their quarterback options are. Big Ben is playing well enough for them to screw themselves out of a young quarterback. What if you got? Nah, Mitch wouldn't be good there.
Mitch would be bad.
Mitch would be bad. Doesn't Jameis. Have the arm to get it to. Jameis. Oh, Jameis. Man. Jameis Winston with
Chase. I don't know how long Jameis is under contract, but.
I think he's just got a 1 year.
Oh, dude, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, give me Joe Flacco for a year. Like, just let's just piece together old quarterbacks until the Steelers are bad enough to get a new young one.
There you go. Yeah.
Or maybe there's a Ryan Tannehill type guy where you can get your second surge resurgence under Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, man, famous Jameis. Yeah. Do you want to go into the 21 receivers?
Let's hold off on the 21 receivers. I think that we'll have plenty of time for that this offseason. I think it's going to be hotly contested.
Yes.
They're the wide receiver one. This is going to be the most contested wide receiver one out of any draft class that I've seen recently. Like last year you had your CD Lamb, and I think this wide receiver class is just as deep. And the high level talent is there as well, so it's going to be pretty ridiculous. And I think you're going to see everyone all over the board in your top five. I don't think you're going to have a consensus top five. I think it's just going to be craziness. So yep. I'm excited for it. I think that's a whole nother segment.
Very excited. Yeah.
Super excited.
So just as far as getting ready to watch these 2021 receivers. Draft Breakdown is the name to know on YouTube. That's on our YouTube channel at the FF Astronauts YouTube channel, but we're using Draft Breakdown as our like tag for all those games. So we have individual game cutups, and that's like the perfect way to scout all these guys. Our team is churning those out right now. Hopefully by the end of NFL playoffs, we'll have like a pretty big library, but we're already active there. So there are cutups available. Just check those out.
Absolutely. Yeah, make sure you go subscribe, and we'll keep building for you. Let's talk let's build a DFS lineup for all our good listeners. Win the Millie Maker with this.
I'm glad you saved this segment.
We'll all split the Millie Maker this week. How's that sound? We'll split it 150 ways.
Yeah, baby. I'm ready.
All right. Let's look at some of the games we have going on, some of the games we want to target, and see where we're at. I think Josh Allen's a guy that I like at quarterback this week playing against Denver. Pretty much anyone on Baltimore against Jacksonville.
Let's see. So yeah,
Derrick Henry has to be in every lineup.
Okay, yeah, we need our 40 pointer. Who are our 40 pointers? Let's start there. I think Derrick Henry is the obvious one. Pointer.
Yeah,
you're saying, hey, no matter what, we got Derrick Henry in.
Yeah, you have to find a way to get Derrick Henry in this week. And what is he? He's the number. He's 9,500.
Number one.
He's expensive. He's the number one.
Number one guy. But we got him locked in. He's locked in at 9,500. Who is your second 40-point player? Wide receiver, running back? What are you feeling looking at these matchups, man?
Looking at these matchups, my next 40-point player is... I want to say David Montgomery is going to get at least 30 again this week. I'm feeling something like that for Dave Montgomery. Oh wait, no. It's going to be Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, lock it in. Without a doubt.
Against Houston, easy.
Without a doubt.
You build around those two running backs, and this is a guaranteed hit.
Yeah, what a turnaround for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, huge.
Very excited for him.
Super excited.
Very excited for him. I feel like we're kind of going back into last week's well a little bit, but at the same time, this is big back football season, right?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, big and fast,
and that's all that matters.
Yeah, where are the big daddies at? So, yeah. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, let's roll.
Yeah, let's do it.
Expensive running back crew. Okay, take me to wide receiver here. And let's go quarterback first, just so we can get a nice stack going on.
You know who might not be bad this week again? Mitchell Trubisky playing against the Vikings. Got rookie cornerbacks out there. You got Allen Robinson on Cam Dantzler, and you have Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet on these Bush League. I mean, Mitch had a 27-point week last week. Mitch has here's a fun stat for you.
Mitch was good.
Did you see that? No. Did you see that? Oh, Aaron Rodgers has the most touchdowns Aaron Rodgers has the most touchdown passes in the past 3 weeks. Mitch Trubisky is number two in the NFL. Don't quote me on that. Hang on.
Yeah, he's got 7 touchdowns
in the past 3 weeks. Or what was it?
7 touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, and you got a playoff berth. You got a bad defense. I want to say Mitch Trubisky could be a great. You don't have to, but I mean, last week he went 18 of 21 for 178 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah, that's pretty good. 5,500. We might need to go there just because Henry's
that's
so
why
he's okay. Super cheap. You know, we'll put him on the list, okay? But I'm not convinced. So, let me see what else is out here first. Jared Goff, 6,300.
Okay,
it's kind of you in the middle up. Range. Jared Goff playing the New York Jets.
What's Jalen Hurts at? Is he still expensive?
Jalen Hurts. 5,900.
I mean, you're still going more expensive than Mitch.
Cardinals, yeah. Okay, right. Taysom
Hill. Matt Ryan, 5,400.
Taysom Hill, Chiefs. Matt Ryan, no, Matt Ryan is dead to me.
Baker Mayfield, 5,600 against the Giants.
Wait, Baker Mayfield is only 5,600?
Yeah.
No, that's playing.
Mitch Trubisky, 55. I think Mitch is good option.
Yeah, let's.
Mitch is a good option. It's got to be Mitch or Baker. Mitch or Baker, one of the two.
Let's go with Mitch.
All right. Come on, you know the process is good there.
Yeah. Yeah, we save a lot of money, and you know,
he's your cheapest option, and he's been on a tear facing a bad defense in a division rivalry game.
Okay.
That has playoff consequences.
Okay, so are we doing Allen Robinson or Darnell Mooney?
I mean, I think, do you go Cole Kmet in there at 3,000? Should we get a tight end here?
Okay, let's observe these tight ends here. We've got Cole Kmet at 3K. That's good. Talk me through real quick. Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham, what's going on?
So, I mean, they're only separated by $100.
I would obviously go Jimmy Graham.
Right. Jimmy Graham is getting the it's unfortunate. Jimmy Graham's getting the touchdowns. And Cole Kmet is getting the actual passing volume in the middle of the field. So it really depends on, are you gonna try to trust Cole Kmet's volume and just volume overall, or are you going to go for the touchdown upside of Jimmy Graham? Cause they want to throw to him every time they get in the red zone. So that's kind of where I'm at. Cole Kmet is out there more than Jimmy Graham. Now I believe their snap counts, have flipped. Let me check that. But I believe their snap counts have flipped. So Cole Kmet had an 85% snap share to Jimmy Graham's 48%.
Wow, that's huge.
So that's what you're looking at. Is you're looking at he's been right at the 80%. Cole Kmet's been right at the 80% mark for the past 3 weeks. They want him to be the guy. He's doubling Jimmy Graham's snaps almost.
Wow. Hey, you know, that's good. I'm glad they spent a second round pick on him. But you know which guy I want to go with, Guy?
Yeah, tell me.
Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hello. And you know Kyle why. Kyle Rudolph, broken foot. And guess what? Yeah, tell me why.
You tell me why.
Well, the Bears. We're playing against the Bears.
And you know, it would have worked last week. It would have worked. Jordan Akins had the sun in his eyes and dropped the touchdown. And it would have worked yet again. But
there was no one within 10 yards.
Right. That is how bad the Bears are against.
Yeah.
But they had the 12th defender, the sun.
The sun, yeah. Well,
and that's how you know astronomy's on your side. Bears are going to the playoffs.
Yeah, that's big. No, it's a really good point.
Irv Smith, though, yeah, yes. I mean, absolutely, Irv yeah. Smith.
That was a Soldier Field sun, though. And now they're playing in the Minnesota Dome, so you know you don't get the powers. You don't get to harness the astronomy powers in an away game. So I think Irv Smith, we're locking him in. And he's only 3,600. That's the no brainer, big win, tight end saver play. 3,600.
Oh, he's more expensive than Cole Kmet.
Well, yeah, he just scored a touchdown. He's 60 yards and a touchdown. He's gone, dude.
But
no,
to know,
Kyle Rudolph. It's like if Jimmy Graham was gone, Cole Kmet would be more expensive.
Cole Kmet, seven targets last game. Seven targets the past two games.
It's solid. Yeah. But we're going with Irv.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Okay. Got him locked. All right. Locked defense. In. Defense.
Oh, yeah. Defense. Baltimore. Or no.
No.
Do we pay up and get the Rams? What's the Rams defense?
4,500.
Oh, I don't know.
Too much.
But abort. I mean that one's guaranteed.
Abort. Let's see.
Tennessee
could be good. I like it. We're thinking Cleveland. Matt Stafford not playing.
Absolutely. Matt Stafford probably will not play. Chase Daniel.
Bruce. Fractured, maybe rib.
Yeah, let's you're, go with you're not the, gonna have you're not gonna have Frank Ragnow the center because he has a fractured throat.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we're going with the Derrick Henry Titans defense stack.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Even though they're only averaging 4.5 points per game, 3,400 is not too much.
No, and it's a layup for a bad offense. Like with it. Kenny Golladay maybe still out and Chase Daniel, you know.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
Darnell Mooney, what are the moon phases?
I don't even know, but I'm firing him up.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
You're not even going to consult the moon.
No, I think it's unreliable for him.
Oh.
But I do know, looking at his targets, he's had 9, 6, and 2 this past week. And the 2 this past week is interesting because he was dealing with a knee injury and he didn't practice for personal reasons all week.
He still balled out.
He had 2 receptions and he had a touchdown in those 2. So I think you look at a guy who scored a touchdown. They want to get him the ball. But his snap count was down this past week. His people are going to be off him a little bit because his snap count was down.
True. But he caught 100% of his passes.
He has caught 100% of his passes this season. He does not have a drop on the season. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that. So, we're rolling with Mooney. Even though, Guy, you should know, it's going to be a 26% waxing crescent. And that is a warning sign if I have ever heard of one.
Yeah, we're going with it, though. I'm all in.
Slim Mooney.
What else? What? How many positions do we have left?
We have 2 receivers and a flex. And I think, you know.
Kiki QT.
Whoa, hold on. We need to make a decision here on Allen Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
We have to stack him, right?
I mean, yeah. I would probably go Allen Robinson instead of Darnell Mooney, and then just find a different cheap wide receiver, honestly.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
no. You're right.
Really, Cam Sims.
You're right. Okay. So we've got Allen Robinson, Mitch Trubisky.
We got to have like no money left.
That's our stack. We can average 4,400. 4,466.
Oh, that's easy. Give me someone cheap.
Over three players. Let's go down to the bargain bin receivers.
Okay. Like Traquan Smith? Against Kansas City?
With Taysom Hill? No.
Oh, is Jameis not starting this week? They haven't declared anyone. If Jameis is starting this week, I'm going Taysom Hill. No, he just sucked.
Oh, no. No. Taysom's in.
Right, fine. Okay. Then let's go with Russell Gage.
Oh, how much is Russell Gage? Let's see. Oh, I got it. 4,700. That is rich.
That's a good one. Jakeem Grant. Who's a Miami? Who's on Miami? Wide receivers are on Miami at this point? Whatever wide receiver is on Miami, that's who you need.
Who are they playing again? Where are we at?
They're playing New England, but they have one. Devontae Parker, probably not going to play. Mike Gesicki, probably not going to play. Whatever wide receiver they have, someone has to catch the ball. Miles Gaskin out. Someone literally. Lynn Bowden. Oh, what's Lynn Bowden?
Oh. 3,600.
Oh, do it. Fire him up. Easy. Okay.
All right. Yeah. The confidence is there.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Yeah. No, they got to get him the ball some way. Seven of nine targets for 82 yards. I watched that game. He looked all right.
I mean,
nothing
they don't have
too special.
They don't have a running back. They could put him in the backfield. They could put him at quarterback.
Yeah, they do like mixing him around. Where's the... Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, Chenault.
Oh, yeah. LaVisca.
3,800.
Yeah, and then that gives us...
There's a little debatability there. Yeah.
What if we go both and then we go big in the flex?
Both. Oh my gosh.
We go both and then we flex hard.
I mean, go all the way up to 6K in the flex.
Yeah. What can we get for 6K?
Friggin' J.K. Dobbins.
Not enough.
Although,
oh, J.K. Dobbins against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Fine. All right, fine.
Can we get Jeff Wilson in here?
Yeah.
Hold on. Jeff Wilson, 5,100. Lock it in.
I love that we're building this as we go, and we didn't prep at all for this DFS build.
I prepped Jeff Wilson Jr. He's a 5,100 lock. That is a no-brainer. Raheem Mostert, ankle injury, freaking again. Jeff Wilson, smash. Dallas Cowboys. That's easy. Wow, we're going ham this week. Okay, all right. So we got $900 left to spare. Are we upgrading Lynn Bowden or Chenault?
Chenault, because I don't want to.
You don't like Baltimore?
No, I don't want him. Marlon Humphrey's gonna hump him.
Ooh, graphic.
Or Marcus Peters.
Ooh.
Although, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Who else we got? Rashard Haynes?
Okay. We're out on what's his face. We can go back to Russell Gage at 4,700. Are you there?
We're looking at wide receivers now only?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's so disappointing. I really want to go. Oh, we're like 100 off from Michael Pittman.
Do you want to go? We can go Rashard Higgins, 4,400.
Oh, who they got again?
The Giants.
Oh.
We don't have to.
No.
Okay, fine.
Here's why.
Tell me.
We're looking at different slates. I don't have them on the... I don't have the Browns game.
Oh, I don't know why it was... Oh, that's why. It was the 16-game slate. That made no sense.
You had way more options. No wonder. I was like, wow, why is it taking him so long to scroll? It's because you got at least one more game.
Yeah, there are so many. All right, now let's look at the real list of wide receivers.
Okay.
What's our budget?
So our right now we got $4,700. Okay. Russell Gage is $4,700. Michael Pittman is $4,800. We can maybe knock down Lynn again to something else, but that's kind of where we're at.
Oh, do you want to get Anthony Miller for $3,400?
No.
Drop Lynn Bowden for Anthony Miller. Drop him down.
Oh, okay.
We don't have to drop down Lynn Bowden to Anthony Miller.
Okay, Anthony Miller going to go off, dude?
Get another stack. Oh, you know Mitch loves Anthony Miller. You know that A-Mill is Mitch's guy.
Oh. Michael Gallup's only $3,500? What the? Hold on.
How the turntables.
Well, it's because he only had two catches for six targets. Michael Gallup has been a real...
Oh, all right. You ready? Devin Duvernay, $3,200.
No.
But they don't have any wide receivers. All their wide receivers have
COVID. Oh, wait. Are they all hurt?
They all have COVID.
Oh, Miles smash. Boykin, Miles Boykin. Yeah, put Duvernay in.
Duvernay, $3,200. He's
got a great call. Boykin's out?
Yeah, Boykin and Hollywood and one other guy.
Who's the
other
guy? And the only guys left is Dez?
Yeah, Dez and Duvernay. Although,
dude, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Duvernay, Dez. For sure. Don't blink. Okay. Yeah. 5,100. That gives us...
For wide receiver?
Yeah. Oh, man. That still brings us to Michael Pittman or DJ Chark. We didn't get any bonuses for going to Duvernay. But I also don't mind. I mean, Duvernay's... We like Duvernay.
We do.
At the Astronauts. The guy... There's some things related to Duvernay that we like. He's fast.
Yeah.
He's tough.
Yeah.
He's not that, like... I mean, he's kind of like Jalen Reagor in terms of his, like, oh, can he, like, stop on a dime or whatever. But...
He can.
He's explosive. And yeah, he is. That's all you need when you're playing Jacksonville. So...
What?
Duvernay...
Projected ownership, zero.
Perfect.
No, 2.5.
Well, that's how you win the millie.
Still low.
All right, and when are we plugging in this Michael Pittman guy?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, Michael Pittman versus the Texans. Yeah, I'm about it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You saw what Allen Robinson did to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody can beat up on the Texans. Anybody can beat up on Dallas.
Indianapolis defense would be a good one this week as well.
Yeah, but we're too busy choking out, fracturing throats on the Lions. Let's see how many more throats we can take.
Losing your center is probably the biggest hit to that offensive line.
Oh, they're screwed. I'm so confident in this matchup. This is one of those things where you like look at the lineup and you're like, this is the best lineup I've ever put together. We can go up a quarterback, by the way. So here's what we didn't realize. We can go
to Tua. Up on me here. But you know what?
If we want.
We're good. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me? Are you cutting out? Okay.
Well.
I think we solved it.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Can you hear me?
Looks like Jetpack's back. Are you back, Jetpack?
I'm back.
All right. So that's the Millie Maker lineup. You guys go with
Mitch.
Go put that one in. You know, Mitch has won more Millie Makers than other guys.
he's won more Millie Makers than not.
He does
every time somebody decides to put him in, he wins a Millie Maker.
He's been in more Millie Makers than any of the other quarterback in the past couple of years.
Well, let's go back to the well.
Back
to the well. So did you run through who the players are?
No.
You do. Okay, all right. Mitch Trubisky, $5,500. Derrick Henry, $9,500. Jonathan Taylor, $7,200. Devin Duvernay, $3,200. Allen Robinson, $7,400. Beautiful stack. Playing against Cam Dantzler, who you love, but we're going to dunk on him because we're the Bears.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman Jr. against the Texans, who are trash. $4,800. Irv Smith, no brainer against the Bears. They don't have the power of the sun anymore, and they cannot wield it in Chase Bank Stadium. 3,600. Jeff Wilson Jr., automatic slayer. Going to get tons of volume with Raheem Mostert probably out. And the Niners a little bit angry after what they put on the field against the Washington football team. $5,100. That's the best deal in DFS. And then the Titans, sure to smash.
Sure to smash.
Sure to smash. $3,400. Yeah. So I'm entering all 10,000 of my dollars right now with this lineup.
Do you really have $10,000 right now?
I've won so much money.
That's
from
incredible.
Past DFS. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. You're balling this year.
Yeah. We're doing it all in this lineup.
Man, how many telescopes do you think you can buy with your DFS?
Our goal is to go
buy the Hubble.
Is to go from telescopes to the Raptor engine. SpaceX does an engine they call the Raptor. I don't have one yet. I have a couple Merlin engines, but the Raptor I'm really excited about. So we're saving up. Mrs. G said it'd be okay if I kept it all within the same DFS account to like build my capital and I didn't risk it on anything else.
So, okay.
That's what we're going with. But yeah, we're trying to buy a Raptor here.
All right. Hey, I'm with it. I'm with it.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to sign us out?
Yeah, man. We're the Fantasy Football Astronauts and the best podcast in the galaxy. And we are blasting off again.